Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Acts chapter 16 today. Acts chapter 16. We're continuing in our survey of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and looking at the subject of how God leads. How God leads. And I think it's so important for us to realize that God is not monolithic. He deals in different circumstances and different ways, always with the purpose of bringing glory to His precious name. And I want to read just the first three verses here of chapter 16 as we consider how God leads and look specifically at how He not only leads in disagreements that men have, as we've looked at already, but God also leads through discipleship that's taking place. And we're going to be seeing this in chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for the testimony of how you worked in men's lives, how you led them, and how you showed them your will. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might take to heart the things that are shared in the narrative scriptures of how you led these men. And I pray that we might learn things that would be profitable to us as we seek to be led by Thee, our Savior and our King. We ask, dear Father, that you would work in our hearts today. We pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us. And I pray that our hearts and minds would be put in tune with Thee. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to be dealing with this subject today of how God leads others through discipleship. We looked at last time how there was a major disagreement that took place between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas about whether to take this young man, John Mark, with him on the second missionary journey. And it became so heated that they separated. Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark, and they went their separate ways, both of them delivering the gospel. And God used a disagreement to multiply the team. We find there that Barnabas and John Mark go to Cilicia, the island of Cyprus. They minister there. They end up in North Africa, where they share the gospel there. We learn about that through other sources, that they had a very strong ministry there that took place over a decade. And then they came back, and we find that the Apostle Paul is restored in fellowship with Barnabas just 3 years later, where he's mentioned in 1 Corinthians. And then we find him again that's mentioning John Mark about bringing him with him on two separate occasions, bringing him with me. He's profitable to me. And so we find that in this situation, Paul knew how tough it was going to be on this second trip. We find the arrest. We find all kinds of things that happened to them. They were beaten. They were put in prison. All these things. And Paul just did not think that John Mark was ready for that. Barnabas wanted to disciple John Mark and make him into a vessel that was fit. And so both of them were right. God used this to make two teams instead of one. And so God can use disagreements here upon this earth to bring about His will and lead men into ministry. Today we're going to look at how God uses discipleship in expressing His will and in the leading of men. Here in verse 16 we read in verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra." Now this is Paul and Silas. They're on their second missionary journey. And they make it to Derbe and Lystra. Now remember what happened in Lystra on the first missionary journey. He was almost killed. God spared his life. And he was able to continue and go back through all the churches that they had planted. And was able to make it back to Antioch of Syria. And ended the first trip. they go back to this same time. Now that tells me something about Paul. It's something that thrills my heart. He's not easily diverted because of persecution. Even though he nearly lost his life at Lystra, he goes back again to check on the church that was planted there. You know, we all face in life persecution, but we ought not to be afraid. We ought to be willing to go back and to be able to deal with situations and encourage God's people and not be deterred by persecution that may come our way. So he goes back to this area with Silas this time, and he meets a certain disciple by the name of Timotheus. We know him as Timothy. This is a disciple. This is a follower of Christ. And he's got quite a name that he's built up for himself. Notice this, please. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. In the place where Paul had been persecuted and nearly killed, God raises up a disciple to carry on the work. And it's a young man by the name of Timothy. Isn't God good? I mean, he's so wonderful. Oh, we can't plant a ministry there. There's a lot of persecution. Oftentimes, that's the ideal place to plant a ministry. We have seen this so many times with our missionaries. We have seen it in India, in the tribal area of Odessa in India. They have had so many occurrences of Christians being persecuted, Christians being thrown in jail. And yet every year, Bible College has had a team of evangelists go to that region and communicate the gospel, and people have been wonderfully saved. Even though they've been run out of town on occasion, even though some of them have been arrested, even though they've had persecution, God has opened an open door of opportunity in that place. They're not afraid to go back. This is a picture that we need to understand. Evidently, Timothy had been led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. Paul refers to him as a son in the faith. I believe that he potentially was the one that led him to Christ, may have led his mother and grandmother, who were godly people, may have led them in faith to Christ. But here we find that Paul goes back, and there is Timothy who is there, and Paul immediately wants Timothy to join the work. Now notice this, please. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now there's a lot said in that verse of Scripture. There's a lot said there about Paul recognizing in this young man the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, that God was upon this young man, and that he desired for this young man to be a part of his ministry. But it required something. It required him to be circumcised. Now, I want us to see something here of Timothy's willingness to be circumcised so that he might be a greater witness to the Jewish population. Everywhere they would go in Asia, they would find Jewish populations. And Paul did not give up on giving the gospel to the Jews, even though he was the apostle to the Gentile. He never gave up. At this particular point in his ministry, he had not given up on reaching out to the Jews, and he knew that Timothy would be a blessing and a help. His mom was a Jew. He would be a perfect evangelist, but he required that he needed to be circumcised. Now think for just a moment. This was something that had never crossed their minds, no doubt, but yet Paul saw that this would be something that would be an issue, because everybody knew that Timothy's dad was a Greek. He was a Gentile. And so, because he was a Greek, Understand, the Jews did not associate with the Greeks and the Gentiles. They had very strict rules of separation in that regard. And so Timothy would not be welcomed into the Jewish realm. And so Paul says you need to be circumcised, and had him circumcised. Now my point in all this is the humility of Timothy to desire to be used of God. Here his ministry had been mostly among the Gentiles. There at Lystra, he had a Gentile ministry. Now, as he goes with Paul, he's going to have a Gentile ministry, but he's also going to be introduced to a new ministry, and it would be to the Jew. He would be going into synagogues. He would be going into places to worship with the Jews and to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that his not being circumcised and his father being a Greek would be a source of contention with those Jews, and they wanted to be a witness and testimony. What did Paul say? Under the Jew, I became a Jew. All right? Under the servant, I became a servant. There's a whole list of things that Paul says that he was willing. He set aside his personal liberties so that the gospel would be advanced, that Jesus Christ, he wanted nothing in his life that would be a wall between a sinner and Christ. Now, folks, this is important. This is key to Paul's ministry and to Silas' ministry and to Timothy's ministry to want to be used. Now, in Titus's case, they did not require that he be circumcised because he was a Gentile, basically involved only in Gentile ministry, and it was not required of him. But of Timothy, it was. I want us to think for just a few moments today as we look at God's leading here, that Timothy was required to make some changes in his life. He was required to make some changes in his life so that his ministry might be expanded. Now, folks, we need to understand this truth here. There was no doubt that Timothy was a strong believer. He was well received there in Lystra. In verse 2 it says, he was well reported of by the brethren in Iconium. That's a region. Not only in a town, but in an entire region, Timothy was known to be a strong believer in Christ. Are strong believers in Christ required to make changes from time to time so that their ministry might be expanded? I don't know if you remember, years ago we had a guest speaker here. He was a friend of Dr. Bob Jones Jr., and he was an evangelist. And he came up here, and we had, Dr. Hobbs had him come, and he spoke about what it was like for him being called of God. He said his youth pastor came to him and said, "George, I see some gifts of speaking in you." And George said, "Well, you must be mistaken. I have no gifts of speaking. I'm embarrassed to get up in class." He was 16 at the time. And so he said, "No, I'm going to work with you. I would like for you to take and preach a short message in church. I think God might be leading you in this direction." Now, here was a youth pastor discipling a young man. All right? And he encouraged him to get up and speak. George Peabody, at 16, got up to preach on that service and passed out 1 minute into the message. Hit the floor, boom. They came up there, everybody rushed up into the pulpit to check on him. He was out cold. They drug him over to the pew, they laid him down, they got him some water, got him where he was alert again. And the first words out of his mouth, "Is church over?" Okay? "Is church over?" And said, "Well, tonight it is." Yeah. "You just passed out." He was shaking like a leaf. I mean, he was overwhelmed by that. He met with the youth pastor the following Sunday. And he said, "I told you, youth pastor, God doesn't want me to preach. I can't stand in front of people. And the youth pastor said, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not going to have you speak in church right away. That was a little hard probably to do that to you the first time. I'm going to have you speak in youth group. And he said, that's even worse. I'm going to be speaking to my friends. But you know what happened in George Peabody's life? God began to deal with him. He went off to college. He went off to Korea. He came back and went to Bible college because while he was in Korea, God began to deal with his soul about ministry. That youth pastor had moved on to pastoring another church, and he went back to his church, and the pastor was there, and he said, so good to have you back after your military service and so forth. He said, what are you going to do with your life? He said, I'm going to Bible college. I'm going to study to be a preacher. God showed me in Korea that he wants me to be a preacher. He said, wonderful, I'd love for you to speak. George Peabody said nothing back. He said, I'm ready to go, sir. He got up and he preached a powerful message. God took over his tongue. He went to Bible college, went to Bob Jones University, graduated, went into evangelism, and for 45 years, Dr. George Peabody was in evangelism. He started by passing out. He started by thinking, I can't do this. But George Peabody had some disciples in his life who went to him and encouraged him, even when it didn't look like, you know, physically speaking, he could even make it through a message. But God used that, and he often would use that. He spoke in chapel at Bob Jones whenever I was there, and he gave a similar testimony of how God had taken over his tongue and used him to be able to preach all over the world. It's just an amazing story. And he said, it was the people in my life that came alongside and encouraged me, even whenever I didn't see it. That's exactly what happened with Paul, with Timothy. We're going to look at some other things. But Timothy was already a strong believer. He was already well known in Iconium. But he was a man that needed to grow further. He needed to grow further. He had a great reputation, and he was available. Availability. You know what God is looking for? People that will say, here am I, send me. How many times is that repeated in the Bible? Here am I, send me. Think about that in regard to Timothy. He was available. In Philippians 2 and verse 20, this is what Paul says about Timothy. For I have no one like him who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. He sent Timothy to minister there at Philippi. And he said, I have nobody that I can send that has a heart for people like Timothy does. You know what had happened? Timothy had grown. He had grown during that second missionary journey. He was available to go. And wherever Paul needed him to go, Timothy went. This is an amazing story. He ended up being the pastor at the church at Ephesus, having already gone to several other places to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he was able to go to those places because he was willing to be used of God. Even if it meant he had to be circumcised, he would be circumcised. I don't want there to be any reason why people will not listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was willing to give up some of his personal liberties to be used of God. And he was willing to do whatever it took to build bridges. This is something that I think, and the Lord has just impressed upon me more and more as I've gotten older. We need to be willing to build bridges. We're really good at burning bridges, are we not? We're really good at that. Washing our hands. Done with them! You know what? Sometimes God wants us to build bridges. Get over ourselves. Get past our thoughts about people. Now, obviously, there are some people that don't want to have a bridge built to them, and they'll let you know that. But the reason for the bridge not being built should not be you. Correct? It shouldn't be us. You know, we've been able to reconnect with people that we thought in the past perhaps were individuals that were lost causes. I'll give you a story. This comes from Aunt Carolyn. Young lady that they took into their house, Joni and her brother Chris. Their daddy was a truck driver. I will never forget seeing his truck parked out here on the side whenever he would drive through and visit his kids. He had property over in Okaloosa or Walton County, somewhere over in that area. Had a house over there, but he had no place for his kids to stay while he was trucking. No mama in the picture. And so Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs took them into their house and had them for several years. We grew up knowing Joni and Chris. When Joni graduated in 1976, I had been in the band with her and knew her well enough that, we would pray for her. Joni left here, and she went off on her own and ended up in all kinds of difficulties and trials and troubles and so forth like that. Her life had been struggle after struggle after struggle, but she reconnected with Aunt Carolyn when she found out she had cancer. Joni was given a matter of time to live, and she reconnected with Aunt Carolyn and said, Aunt Carolyn, I've been reading my Bible, and I've been studying some of those notes that you gave us back in high school days, and said, God's been getting a hold of my heart, and I think I'm truly now a believer in Jesus Christ. And Aunt Carolyn spent a lot of time talking to her and praying with her. Joni ended up passing away. Joni was considered by some to be a lost cause. She just didn't get it. She just didn't grab a hold of it when she should have, and so now, well, it's going to be tough. But you know what? She knew who to reconnect with. And Aunt Carolyn loved her dearly, and on Aunt Carolyn's prayer list was Joni's name all through those years. And who would it be that she would go to get help? It would be Aunt Carolyn. You see, folks, we need to understand something, that not everybody is a lost cause. There are people that just need to be loved, and they need to be reached out to. They need to know that they can come to you and find help. Am I talking weird stuff here? They need to know that they can come to us and find help, and that we'll be there graciously, not to say, you owe me an apology. There's some people that have lived their lives that way. I will not talk to them until they apologize to me for what they did. Well, maybe they got saved since then. And what's wrong with you? Maybe you need to get right with God. We have all these artificial walls that we build many times in our lives. Timothy was willing to be circumcised so that there would be no walls between he and the people that he would be ministering to. And God used him in a remarkable, remarkable way. Sometimes God leads through discipleship. I wonder, would you turn with me to Titus, book of Titus real quick? I want to talk about discipleship from the book of Titus for just a moment. Look at chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now this is Paul writing to Titus, encouraging him. Preach those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may what? Everybody say that word, please. Teach. Wow. We could supply the word disciple. that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient in their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing himself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Discipleship opens doors. It opens doors to young people. It opens doors to help young mamas. It opens doors for helping young men that are about to get married. But what does it require? Discipleship. Teaching. These are all things that are beyond salvation in Christ. These are all things that have to do with our behavior. How we teach our children, how we run our homes, all these things are mentioned here as part of sound doctrine. But the encouragement is that the older men and the older women be disciples of the younger men and the younger women. Do you see the beautiful picture that's laid out here? This is so wonderful. Paul wanted Timothy to be a leader of disciples. He wanted him to do what Paul had done for him, and he didn't want anything in his way that would prevent him from being the kind of disciple of Jesus Christ and to be the kind of leader that was needed in whatever church Timothy was going to be led to. Let's finish up here very quickly. I want you to note this, please. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 20 through 23. This is Paul speaking. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as under the law, though not myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save. And then there's this little word, some. Some. You mean that I have to give up my personal liberties? Now, he says here, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law. I know my liberty in Christ, but I choose to help those that are under the law. I choose to help the Jews. I help those that are under the law, that I might save how many? Some. We're not even promised a huge harvest. Just some. That's the kind of spirit, that's the kind of leadership that is needed today. Willing to reach out to those that you may have a broken relationship with, to just put that behind you and reach out to them and say, listen, I've been praying for you lately. I know we had some rough spots in our relationship in the past, but I just want you to know I'm past that now. Can you admit that? I'm past that now. Because you know what I did? I realized that I had not turned that over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was hanging on to that. It's like the picture of the little boy whose dog was killed by a car. And so Daddy and the little boy went and buried the dog. And Dad was out mowing a couple of afternoons later and saw the tail hanging out of the ground. What in the world is this? Well, some animal has come up and dug, I'm going to have to dig it deeper. So he dug a hole deeper and put the dog down in there and covered it back up. A few weeks later, he comes up, there's the tail sticking up again. And he said, this cannot be an animal. An animal would try to get the whole thing, not just pull the tail out. And so he went inside the house and he pulled his young son and said, do you know anything, and named the dog's name, about the animal? He said, yes. He said, have you been going out and digging up the dog Yes, Daddy.
Why on earth? Don't you smell the smell? It's dead.
I know, Daddy, but I just wanted to check on him and see if he was all right.
Now, what did he not understand? There are some people that hang on to these grievances, all right, that they have with somebody else. Oh, I worked so hard with them and they turned their back on me. I'm not speaking to them again. I'm not going to deal with them again because they did not accept what I had to say. You know what you need to do? You need to quit digging it up. You're just like that little boy, digging up the dead body to check on the dog. That's what you do when you hang on to some grievance that somebody's caused you. You know what God wants? He wants mature Christians. He wants mature Christians that will turn those matters over to God and said, all right, Lord, I'm turning that matter over to you. I know I was hurt in the past, but Lord, I'm going to let you take care of that. And I'm going to see if I can restore a relationship here because I know they need Christ. Now, if they turn away from that, then that's their business. But you will have done your part. Getting past the hurt and the struggle and all the things that they did to you is part of the way in which God leads. He leads you out of that into a much better situation. Even if you cannot restore the relationship, you would be made right with the Lord. You would be in a right position. So if someday that person picked up the phone and called you, you're in a right relationship with God. All right, Father, here I go. I want to help them. I want to restore this relationship. I want to see what we can do to make this right. I guarantee in this room right here, there are people in our lives that we've had broken relationships with that we could make right. Enough time has passed. Maybe they didn't come and ask for your forgiveness. But you know what? God did not say, you know what? I think I'll go to the cross for only those that will ask forgiveness. Now, some people believe that. But I believe the atonement is much broader. It expands to all. Whosoever will may come. The door is open. God did not offer His Son based upon only those that would ask forgiveness. He made the atonement available to all mankind. He is not willing, that was our Bible verse this week in Bible class, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering to usward. If they only ask, I'll only ask forgiveness. I won't give my atonement. Let's ask forgiveness. Well, wait a minute. The forgiveness was secured in the cross. What we need to do is receive the free gift of His righteousness. That's what we're missing. His righteousness. Oh, how we need to let this soak into our hearts and lives. Timothy, as did Paul, was willing to be used of God, and if it meant giving up personal liberties to be able to reach some, they were willing to do that because it was about the presentation of Jesus Christ to lost sinners. Would you bow your heads, please? I wonder this morning, in the quiet of the moment, if there are some that would say, you know, Pastor Todd, I've got to get some things right with the Lord. I've got some people in my life that I haven't spoken to in years because they made me upset and angry about what they did to me and or they said some things about me that weren't true. And I don't want anything to do with them, but I've come to the place now where I realize that that's not right. That's not right. Pastor Brainerd, would you pray for me that I can get this thing settled and get things right with those in my family, or maybe it's friends or business, whatever the case. I need to get those things right. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to talk about you. I'm just going to take you before the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who reached out to a young man and said, you need to be circumcised in order to have a wider ministry. And Timothy was willing to have that done so that he could share the gospel not only with the Gentiles, but also with the Jews. He sought to have a further ministry, and so he was willing to do away with personal liberties in order to be used of God. That's the kind of heart you want from us, Father. Not to be all the time talking about our personal liberties and what we can do and so forth, and let's do this because I have the liberty to do it, but rather looking to others to help them. Lord, sometimes you lead us through discipleship. Help us here at Grace Bible Church to be the right kind of leaders of discipleship. You've called upon the older men and the older women to be disciplers of those that are younger, to teach them, disciple them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take up that role, not to be obnoxious, but rather to be a help and be a blessing. And then, Father, those that we know in our circle that we haven't reached out to in a long while because there's some kind of rift, Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow up spiritually and to cast that at your feet. Turn it over to you. You've told us to cast our burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain us. He'll not suffer the righteous to be moved. Help us to think about, Father, what our role is here on this earth, and that's to reach out to lost sinners and to seek to have them come to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, would you use this message in a powerful way to touch all of our hearts and those that listen by way of radio or the internet, to touch hearts and lives, to stop with the anger and the bitterness and the things that we hold up and put up as a wall between us, rather than seeking to be a blessing and a help. Father, would you do a work in our hearts today in a very powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.